Harvey Weinstein is due back in court tomorrow. He's expected to plead not guilty to rape and sex crimes charges. It's been 8 months since his case touched off a global Me Too movement, prompting people all over the world to come forward with their own tales of workplace sexual harassment. As NPR's Yuki Noguchi reports, the number of complaints filed with HR departments has jumped sharply.
It's a testament to the pervasiveness of Me Too complaints that the country's biggest human resources group is so openly discussing its failures. Johnny Taylor is CEO of the Society for Human Resource Management.
I asked at a speech just recently, how many of you have been impacted by the Me Too movement, your HR practice? And it was 100%.
It's not just celebrity chefs, news anchors, and business executives, he says. Employers in all kinds of industries are deluged by complaints, ensuing investigations, and prevention training.
It created this HR level of activity like nothing we'd ever seen.
Taylor says for decades, HR departments fought hard to keep most claims under wraps.
When you start talking to employees, they say, oh, this was pervasive for 20 years. It's because until last year, October, we just made those cases go away.
Primarily by settling cases out of court or using non-disclosure agreements. And it isn't just sexual harassment. Taylor says Me Too has touched off many other worker complaints, such as bullying and retaliation.
It's tackling bigger issues. It starts off with women are being harassed in the workplace. Oh, yeah, and then, by the way, they weren't paid comparably.
Such is also the case at NPR, where the firing last year of two top news executives for sexual harassment led to the filing of other workplace grievances. Sharon Sellers is a Santee, South Carolina-based HR consultant who says her caseload of sexual harassment investigations has tripled since late last year. She says her cohorts in other parts of the country report a similar boom.
I've heard it's a madhouse, it's crazy. I can't keep up with the work, and I'm pretty well in that same position.
Fatima Goss-Graves is CEO of the National Women's Law Center. She says this is a leadership moment for employers and their human resource teams.
This is their moment to finally get it right.
Her group has been running the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund since January. It's handling more than 2,700 complaints so far. Graves says that outpouring of stories and complaints represents a reckoning for employers who have a long history of trying to keep claims private or retaliating against workers.
Part of that healing is going to be changing the institutions that covered for harassment and abuse for so long.
Graves says she's glad most executives seem to recognize a need for change.
This is no longer an issue that is just sort of a side issue for only people who are HR professionals. This is an issue that boards and the senior leadership of companies should be deeply concerned about.
But not everyone sees that deeper concern over workplace harassment at the executive level translating into stronger support for workers who come forward. Shelly Ruzica is a spokesperson for Arise Chicago, a faith-based worker advocacy group. She says there are many workers, especially in low-wage positions, who say they still face denial and retaliation when they bring claims.
In this moment, we actually sort of thought we would see more companies being willing to settle it and wanting to and actually taking a step in the right direction to say we want to take care of this and make this a better workplace and offer training. And instead, we have actually seen much more pushback and fighting their own workers.
I had asked Ruzica to put me in touch with workers who might be in this position. She says they were eager to talk, but those who filed complaints, either through their HR departments or with a state or federal agency, were told to not discuss their stories while their cases are pending.
And so what we find is that women, even though they're brave enough to stand up and have somehow made it through the process this far, is they're once again feeling trapped and feeling silenced.
Some, of course, wish to keep their stories confidential. But it's ironic, Ruzica says, that those who want to speak out find themselves silenced again by the process. Yuki Noguchi, NPR News, Washington.